tonight, it's a question that I'm going to pose and throw out to you. Where's your treasure? And that's not requiring an answer, and there will be no test given after the sermon. So just a few things to ponder. A couple of things have been kind of striking my heart lately, and just kind of put it together here. Where's your treasure? You know, is it in your hopes? Is it in your dreams? Is it in your money? Is it in your degrees? Is it in your business? Is it in relational success? I mean, just like, I don't care what it is. Where's your treasure? You're putting all your time and your effort and energy into that thing. And, you know, and God says that. We have to go back to what Jesus said. Now, it doesn't mean you don't pay attention to those things, but when we focus in on that, that's when we get in trouble. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So we live on this fine balance where we're of the Lord, heading to His kingdom in a different realm, but living here still within a body that's cursed, on an earth that's cursed, with a nature that's broken, but with Jesus Christ inside. His nature now has the better way. It has the wisdom, the power, the authority, the change that we could never get the other way. Well, we're used to familiar territory. We're used to old habits, and we're accustomed to certain things. So just because you come to know the Lord, it's wonderful. It's a salvation experience. You are one of His children. You can be with Him when you finish your tour on this earth. But we're still full of those old habits and those old ways of thinking, and those old ways of accomplishing things and getting certain things. And accidentally, for most of us, we end up with our treasure being that which we can see. The dreams that aren't fulfilled. And we end up, and that's to the exclusion of what we really should. It's like God has this backwards world. You have to die to live. You give to get. I mean, He's got this, the world doesn't go by His principles. They're not solid on their foundation. His involves faith and hope and love and the things that you can't grab onto. They're things that you have to die to yourself and let His portion come out. And I was reading in Oswald the other day. It was October 19th, little thing on his in his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. And he says, I just want to bring up a little point. It was along the lines of where's your treasure? And he says, the system of the world insists upon endless energy and activities, but no private life with God.
Mm-hmm.
The world talks about get and build. I mean, those are all good things. But to the exclusion of a private life with God, you're doomed to either fail or succeed just by the luck of the draw. It's things will crumble. They're not going to be based on what God has said, which means you're open to lies and corruption and graft and error and calamity. That's way beyond anything that you can do. And Oswald goes on and says, we must get rid of the plague of the spirit of this religious age in which we live. Now, I'm reading that. This guy wrote this back in the 1920s.
Wow.
Almost 100 years ago, and he's talking about the power of the world influences. Now, back then, Abdel wasn't on vacation. He was still working, but we still had, at least in this country 100 years ago, a moral foundation, a legislative foundation, a family foundation, a cultural foundation, a community foundation that was based on honoring God and acknowledging Him and what you do. And yet he was writing about a religious spirit that was plaguing the people. How much more has that plague spread? He goes on and says, our Lord's life, in our Lord's life, there was none of the pressure and the rushing of the tremendous activity that we regard so highly today. And a disciple is to be like his master. The central point of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is a personal relationship with Him, not public usefulness to others.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, God, I go, oh, God, I'm just getting it all from all. You know, it's so much. Yes, Lord. We have to keep that, get that right here. He goes on and says, if you waste your time in overactivity instead of being immersed in the great fundamental truths of God's redemption, then you will snap when the stress and strain do come.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
we so work on the problem. We so look at it. How can we fix this? What can we do? And there's all sorts of things, whether it's financial or relational or health, mental. We just focus on that thing. And then we get all involved in activities and all, and the youth group and the travels and the preaching and the teaching and the writing and the youth group and all this stuff. All is good. But if that is to the exclusion or the diminishment of the private life, your private life, you're soaking in His presence, you're sitting in His lap, you're filling yourself with His scripture and truth, your communication with Him, your quiet time before Him, if that is out the window, you're doomed. You will. I mean, the adversary sees that. He'll see that. He will be glad to oblige you to get caught up in every single thing. You'll be chasing squirrels all over the place. And then, because we live in a world that congratulates you on that, oh, good work, you belong to the Boy Scouts, and you work in CAP, the youth group at your church, and you're working with the fire department, you volunteer here, and you come here, and you go there, and you help everybody in town, and Meals on Wheels. You're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Anger will come up, lies will come up, friction will come up, confusion will come up, all of this will come up because we're not cherishing, we're not knowing where our treasure is. Our treasure needs to be being with Jesus, center point of our lives. What do you think about this situation, God? How am I to respond to my wife or my husband? How am I to handle this? Where do you want me to work? Where do you want me to go to school? What do you want me to do? We can't lose that. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but all of us can hear this. All of us can be refreshed in this. We are in a time when we are on information overload. My head is going to explode. If you're not listening to the news, you just turn on the radio. You're going to hear some. You drive down the streets, you got the billboards, you got the comments, you got your neighbors talking, you got your smartphone, you got your dumb phone, whatever you got. It's coming at you from all angles. Oh, I got to get to my email. I got to reply to this. Between your personal and your business, I have 3 different emails, all for business. I get anywhere between 40 and 60 in each one. I go, I just can't. How do I do this, God? Well, if I go to my email first instead of my God first, I'm messed up the rest of the day. Somehow, my mind and my schedule and my natural nature says, if you spend that much time with God first, you will not get anything else done. It's a lie. Don't listen to it. He somehow makes that work. He somehow makes that time frame bend or something. I don't know what he does. He leads you in the way that's going to be the most effective. Instead of you doing 16 things on your list, he might have you do 2 on his list. Constantly I'm saying, God, you're not going by my list again today. You didn't go by my... Look, don't you see my calendar, God? I had this visit planned. I had that program. I was going to write this. I was going to do that. But he goes, no. I will sign on my desk and just to remind me. I tend to live with the lists and the planning and all that kind of stuff, and any phone call or people who just come by the house or something, they have a need, or they text me and, you know, it's counseling or a phone call that wasn't planned or something, a long session. And I consider that an interruption in my schedule. And I go, why do I feel that way, God? You brought something my way. I ask you every day to run my life. I ask you every day to bring across my path people that you want to deal with. And when you do, I go, excuse me, I didn't plan that. And it's a matter of retraining. It's a matter of being in school with the Lord to understand His ways are the most important ways. And even though you don't think it works, it does work in Him. So spend that time with Him. Have your treasure with Him, because that is going to make the rest of what needs to be done correctly. So I'm reminded by that little sign that Jesus let other people's needs and other people's requirements be what His daily schedule was. Now don't misunderstand me. If you let other people lead your life, you will never have quiet time with the Lord. If you respond to everyone has a need. Jesus did not take care of everyone's needs.
No.
It says that He walked through, and you can look through the scriptures. He walked past people who had leprosy. He walked past the gate beautiful. And I'm sure that they didn't have hospitals back then. The little kids with diseases were just probably sitting along the side of the road. I mean, He did not stop for everything. He said, I do only what I see my Father do. So that's a hard thing to do, depending on your personality. I mean, some people sit in the couch and never do anything. Other people are up hopping around like you know, water spattering around in a hot frying pan. I mean, just all the personalities are different. I'm not talking about your personality. I'm talking about your foundation in the Lord. If it's not re-watered and filled every single day, our type of world we live in is going to crush you. And then you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be overworked and maybe even involved in some things that God never said to be involved in. So, and I'm not talking about sin. There's plenty of good works that can be good works, but if He didn't call you to do them, don't do them. So I just bless the Lord. If you're rooted and grounded in Jesus, which will look stupid sometimes to yourself, but will look really stupid to others. You know, just why you spend so much time in prayer, why you spend so much time, whatever. Now, I'm not talking about neglecting your children. I'm not talking about the five-hour prayer service in your home, and your, you know, and your one-year-old hasn't eaten yet, and the diapers haven't been changed for 2 days. I'm not talking about that. That's the foolishness of people seeking the activity of God. No, led by His Spirit, He sees your condition. Who I am is different than some. I don't have 5 kids I'm trying to raise in my house right now. You know, just yet. So someone else who does, God's going to give them a different kind of way to walk through that day, but He's also going to give them the grace to do it. So you can't do what I do, and I can't do what you do. I'm not saying to do that. I'm saying to make a rule on this. We tend to be legalistic. That's it. I got to have an hour and a half in prayer, and an hour and a half in the Scripture, and I got to have an hour and a half on the... No, God's not saying to be a legalistic individual. We tend to do that. It's much easier just to have a bunch of rules than just to be led by the Spirit. The natural nature will tend to just go by, make me a list of rules, and I don't have to seek God. I don't have to think. I don't have to flow with the Spirit every day. No, I'm not saying you can't make a list either. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Being full of the Lord and having Him as your center and your treasure will take care of everything else. And in Luke 17, verses 20 to 21, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Wow. This is something you can read about. It's got to be in there. It's in you. All of what I'm talking about is in you. It just has to be released. Let go of you and let God reign. And this one here, this is absolutely unbelievable. Romans 5:8. I wept as I'm looking over these things and putting them down here to share. Romans 5:8. It says, the love of God demonstrates itself to you while you cared nothing about Him. Oh God, yes. When others are offending us and coming against us and all that, I'm not saying what they're doing is correct. But we need to have the same love and the same patience and the same outlook and the same hope that Jesus had looking at us. When we, especially before I knew Him, when I wasn't serving Him, His great love was manifested to me when I didn't care about Him. I tell you, it changes the whole perspective. That centralizing of Jesus Christ into your heart and soul and letting Him live as your breath changes every single thing in your life. Now, it will change not necessarily your personality, but how you are. It really will. I tend to be an animated person and talk with my hands a lot. A lot of that hasn't stopped just because I love the Lord, you know, that kind of thing. But who I am has changed. And anyone who knows me knows I'm not who I was 40 years ago. Oh my gosh, 40 years ago. When I came to know the Lord 40 years ago. God have mercy. Where'd that time go? I'll tell you. If you think it's a long time down here, it isn't. You know, God goes like this, boom. So I don't think of your own life. I mean, some of you here old enough to remember, you know, high school was a while ago. And yet to you, it's so much has gone by. So quickly, you've done so many things, traveled to so many places, had so many careers, known so many things, raised your kids. Others are just starting out. We got a young one here. But there was a time, Anthony, when you were in the other room, in a classroom in here, and you were this young first grader. Now you're 22. How did that go by so fast? Boom! So when you think God is slow, He isn't, because He's up there going, oh, you're 120 years. Boom! It's just like that to Him. So make it full every single day. You don't know if you're going to live to tomorrow. Praise Him. Love Him. Don't be some religious freaking nut. I'm not talking about that. Have His life manifesting out of you. And when that's your treasure, you'll spread the treasure. It's so powerful. And then, again, don't misunderstand. We need to truly remain aware of the world we're in. Just like He said, you're in the world, but not of it. But have your primary focus in Jesus. Say, God, teach me how to do this. I want to spend that time with You. I want to start with You. And if there's an emergency coming up, and one of your kids falls in the pool and is drowning, you can't stand there and go, be with you in a minute. I've got five more in prayer. No! Be aware of the world around you, but have your focus on Jesus. That is the key difference. And in Exodus 33:14, He said, My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, we need that. I was speaking to a women's group last Thursday, and I don't know, I was feeling a little nervous. I don't usually, may the Lord, you know, just usually I go to these things and I'm thinking on this and whatever. But I was feeling a little nervous, and I go, now Lord, I'm just asking You for Your peace and Your rest, and these scriptures start coming to you. You say, wait a minute, now You said if You're with me, then I have rest. You know, I don't know what this other thing was. I don't know what was going on, but I was able to enter that rest and then go ahead and share the things that I needed to share. And I bless the Lord for that. And in Philippians 4:8, we all know this one. Finally, brethren, this isn't finally, He said that, I didn't, I'm not finished. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, now stop and look at this, what are you thinking on? What are you putting your time into? True, honorable, right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. So when these other things, how come He said that? How come she said that? Or anything else that's assailing you, that's consuming you, that's taking up your time, that's destroying you, match it up with this. If it doesn't match up with this, put it away. Put it away. Fight it. Fight it. Fight it. But your nature will always give in. It'll always have an excuse for what you want to do, especially if it's pleasurable. That's why I say, God, I need the power of Your Spirit to manifest in me now. I submit to You. I submit to You. Even if it means you have to stop your conversation in the middle of your stupid sentence. Never mind. What were you going to say? It's gone. God is going to make remedies that we could never make. And then I just wanted to read you just a real quick thing in terms of in Yancey, who's a very prolific writer, Philip Yancey, he's written a bazillion books and things. He was talking about a trip that he took to China. And there was a fellow who was in the Communist Youth League and served as a Red Guard, etc. And this guy happens to come to know the Lord, you know, eventually. He goes, I'm not going to go through the whole story on that. And when he came to know the Lord as a young person, his family abandoned him, and they said his father met him at the door and said, you've done a bad thing. He said, I fought against the Christians with Chiang Kai-shek, and I fought against the Christians in Korea, and now you want to have Jesus in my house? So he kicked him out, throwing his belongings in the dirt. And so he went through and had a few of those things that were going on. A decade later, after a grandson was healed, even his father came to know the Lord. And the point that I wanted to make was, this guy's name was Xi. Brother Xi was traveling constantly, eluding police through narrow escapes. This is over in China. Many of this is still going on today. I've never been arrested, he's telling Yancey, thanks to the help of churches who hide me. Once I got away just 3 minutes before the police came. Due to his leadership skills, Xi now supervises 260,000 Christians in his province. He travels all over sharing the gospel with them. He sees his wife, also a renowned church leader, only once a year. What a sacrifice that they have made. Where's their treasure? They know where their treasure is. And before going to China, Yancey says, he met with a missionary who had been thrown out back in the 1950s in the time of the Korean War. And this missionary was saying to Yancey, we felt so sorry for the church that we left behind. They had no one to teach them, no printing presses, no seminaries, no one to run their clinics and orphanages, no resources really, except the Holy Spirit. And Yancey wrote, after this guy is dealing with 260,000 Christians who's reigning the Lord, he says, it appears the Holy Spirit did just fine. And that just really kind of touched me when I read that, and I go, you know, it doesn't mean that you won't do a physical work for the Lord, like feed the poor or teach or minister or something, but it's nothing to do with you and everything to do with God's Spirit. His leading is what's going to make the difference. This country is in deep trouble spiritually. And the more we have Jesus inside, the more that we allow that to be our treasure and seek Him and raise up our families in a godly way and run our businesses in a godly way, treat each other right in a godly way, that is where the difference is going to be made, by His Spirit, not by us. Oh, He'll use us, but don't mistake who is doing the work. The Holy Spirit did really fine when they didn't have the orphanages and the printing presses. All those are good things, but even when they weren't there, God's Spirit was still convicting people and drawing people and teaching people. We're blessed. We have church to go to. We have every kind of material. If you want to give you information about meetings and prayer meetings and teachings and the teaching, we have everything. But if all that was taken away, God's Spirit is still powerful, and He still is going to do. But where's your treasure? If all that's taken away, if your treasure is in what's removed, you'll be removed too. Don't have your treasure here. Have it with the Lord while you're here, and all else will fall into place. Remember, He's not in a hurry. You are. So slow it down and stay in step with Jesus, because He is your treasure. God bless you.